It is time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings at this time, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. Marshall's the editor and publisher of The Timberjates, a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, thanks for being with us.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, before we get talking about some of the stories, I know we kind of always talk about this, the changing landscape of media. We just heard yesterday about the Brainerd Dispatch going down to 2 days a week as well. And so I just want to reiterate how important places like the Timberjay and KEXE, KBXE are, these independent media sources. And I am recommending people become members of KEXE, KBXE, and also subscribe to your paper in the town where you live, because this is really important to our world, especially now.
Yeah, it really is. And I have to say, we have seen an increase in the number of subscribers. We've actually been kind of scratching our heads, trying to figure out, okay, well, you know, we're getting them from kind of all over, you know, kind of this region, not necessarily right, you know, locally. So, I mean, clearly people, I think, are recognizing that, you know, having newspapers, you know, especially in quality newspapers and quality radio, you know, that it's important for their community. So, yeah, I think that that's definitely something that people need to be thinking about, and I think certainly people are.
Yeah.
And so that's good news.
Oh, good. Well, let's start with a story having to do with Frontier Communications. We've talked about it many, many times, but a little different part of the story now with the Attorney General. Tell us what you reported on this week.
Right. Well, the Attorney General, Keith Ellison, announced this week that his office has reached a settlement with Frontier Communications, and that's designed to resolve a number of concerns about the telecom's deceptive and misleading business billing and sales practices. And the settlement came at the conclusion of an investigation that the Attorney General had begun in 2018. And under the settlement, Frontier agrees to clearly disclose important terms of its internet service to potential customers when it sells them internet service. That's been an issue that people have complained about for a long time with Frontier, as they would tell you, you know, they'd give you a price, and then when you would actually receive your bill, there were a lot of additional charges, or just prices were simply higher than what people had been quoted. I know we've experienced that at our office as well, and after a period of time started requesting everything from Frontier in writing. And but certainly that's been an issue. They also have to provide all new customers with a written confirmation that identifies the total expected charges. And they also have to notify customers who are not receiving their service at maximum speed that they're paying for, and allow those customers to change to a lower-priced plan or discontinue their service at no cost. They also have to allow people who have signed contracts to suspend those or cancel those contracts without charge if they're not getting the service that they've been promised. And they're supposed to ensure that every customer's maximum internet speed is at least 90% of the speed that was advertised in their service and their service plan. So certainly they're going to have to take some steps here. They're also required to invest at least $10 million over the next 4 years to improve their broadband network. And this amount would be in addition to any money that Frontier might receive from government grants or things like that. And they also have to pay restitution of $750,000 that the Attorney General's office can distribute to Frontier's customers for, you know, past harm that they've suffered. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I know Frontier, of course, as we've talked about before, is currently in bankruptcy. And so, you know, hopefully the company will be able to make good on these commitments.
Yeah. Next Friday morning, we'll have Attorney General Keith Ellison on, and that's one of the things we'll talk with him about as well, too. So people can tune in for that. Speaking of broadband, that has a lot to do with our next story to hear about, schools and what parents are thinking about heading back to schools in the fall. Tell us a little bit about the story that you did.
Right. Well, we had a little bit of reporting from a number of different angles on this story, because it's certainly one that people are paying a lot of attention to right now. I mean, obviously, back to school is coming up soon, and so, you know, the state is going to have to be making some decisions. I know Governor Walz is predicted to be making a decision here before the end of the month on exactly how, or I mean, if or and how students would go back to school. And there was a recent survey that was done by the Department of Education, and they kind of wanted to get the public's perception or thoughts on the previous, remote learning process. And for the most part, parents were not enthusiastic about that. A lot of parents expressed disappointment in the distance learning option. They said it did not go well. And it sort of depended a little bit on the type of the demographics of the household. But the ones that were kind of lower income seemed to struggle more with it. In many cases, certainly in our area, we had a number of families that had reported that, you know, they struggled even just with basic internet service. And so that's a real challenge when you're talking about distance learning. But there's just so many different complications to this whole issue. And it's really going to make it a challenge, I think, for the state to send kids back to school full time. I mean, certainly, you know, while kids don't necessarily suffer the kinds of consequences typically from COVID-19 as adults, certainly they're living out in society, and if they get infected, which certainly the Center for Disease Control is quite concerned about that, you know, if schools go back, you know, kind of the way they were, that they're going to be hot spots for spreading COVID-19. And while maybe some of the kids won't necessarily be as affected, certainly the teachers, that's a possibility. You know, school staff are also, you know, likely to be affected. We all know how, you know, anybody who's a teacher, you know, it seems like the first part of the year especially, everybody gets sick. You know, because schools are just that kind of a place where stuff like this gets spread. And then, of course, you know, kids come back home. They can give it to their parents. They can give it to their grandparents. So there's going to be, you know, a real issue here. And, you know, how you go about making this work, I'm glad I don't have to make those calls, because they are going to be incredibly complex.
Yeah. And there's no good answers to this one.
No, there really aren't.
Okay, well, we'll continue that conversation, I'm sure.
For sure.
Marshall, let's move on. Probably not a surprise, but the announcement of the Ely Marathon being canceled.
Right. And you know, they've been holding off. I mean, this marathon is typically held on, I think, the fourth weekend in September. So, you know, I think they'd been hoping that, like a lot of folks, that, you know, maybe this pandemic would fade over the course of the summer, but of course we've seen it's been exactly the opposite. It's just exploded here now in the last few weeks, and I think nobody's expecting that it's going to get much better between now and September, and you know, they just felt they couldn't safely run that race. So yeah, that's going to be canceled. I'm assuming, we haven't gotten word yet, but I think most people are anticipating that the other fall festival in Ely, that's the Harvest Moon Festival, which is the weekend after Labor Day, I think that one's probably likely to get canceled, but we're still waiting for official word on that. But, you know, pretty much everything else this summer has been canceled, so I guess this is just part of that pattern.
Yeah. Well, I know we're doing our virtual Riverfest Rewind tonight and tomorrow, where we're asking people to set up their chairs outside their own houses, and we're going to listen to past festivals and try our best to get through it, because we wish we were out there together, but it's just not safe yet, even outside.
Yep, for sure.
Well, before we go, update us on the drought conditions.
Well, yeah, it's funny. You know, we've had a fair amount of rain in the last, 10 days or so. And you would think that that might have eased things, and it certainly has helped. But a lot of our area still remains in drought. And it's kind of funny, actually, the degree to which how unequal the distribution of precipitation can be. We've got areas in St. Louis County going kind of right up the center of the county all the way up to about Tower, and that's in severe drought. And then you have areas within 10 miles of that, especially north of Tower, kind of north side of Vermilion up towards the Boundary Waters, and that's there's no drought there. And then in between you've got, you know, moderate drought or abnormally dry conditions. But it's highly variable this year, but still obviously areas with severe drought, and that's certainly a concern. And we're certainly seeing that in water levels here. We had reported on some of the rivers like the Kouishiwi River around Ely. That's down to about a third of its normal flow for this time of year. So that's a pretty substantial reduction from what you'd expect. And we're seeing that in a number of rivers up here. And, of course, lake levels are down. We need quite a bit more rain still to try to get caught back up here on what we should normally have. I mean, this is the wet season here in northern Minnesota. I mean, we actually have a wet season and a dry season. You know, the winter we think of that as wet because we have snow on the ground, but actually it's quite dry. We average, barely an inch of precipitation a month during the winter, whereas in the summer we average about 4 inches a month or almost an inch a week. And we rely on this period of time in, you know, the summer to get most of our precipitation. So if we have a wet season like we have here in the summer and it doesn't deliver the rain, it's really hard to catch up. And so that's why we always kind of watch closely how we're doing with precip this time of year.
It's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more and find out how to subscribe to the Timberjay at their website, timberjay.com. Marshall, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.
I said it doesn't matter where we started.